Turn, if you would, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, I have chosen today to speak to you in a topical fashion and address the holiday that is at hand. And I would like to look at several verse references to begin with. The first is found in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 5. Paul, writing to Timothy, says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." And so we have some information about Timothy's spiritual heritage, as it were. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 1, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word," notice it says, "that they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives." And so we see the importance of a testimony. Verse 4, "But let it be of the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price." Hebrews chapter 11. So we see the impact of wife can have. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. A mention of a few individuals. It says in verse 11, "Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised." And so Sarah is one woman of great faith, and Isaac was born. God blessed and that family there. And so because we see of her faith. Verse 31, another mention, and I know I bypassed a bunch of people here in the Great Hall of Faith, but verse 31, "By faith the harlot Rahab perish not with them that believe not, when she received the spies with peace." And so because of faith. And so we mentioned a great response of faith. The last verse, Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Mention of a few other of these ladies in the Scriptures. Verse 2. "And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance." And so we see these ladies who helped provide the needs of Jesus Christ. And so there are other mentions, of course, throughout the Scripture in the Old Testament. You remember Deborah. She was a judge over Israel at one time. We're all familiar with Ruth and the great commitment that she had. And she forsook her family and forsook her country and forsook the gods of her growing up and cleaved unto the true God of heaven. And so we have the book of Ruth and as a result. And you know about Hannah, who by faith then was used of God, and Samuel the prophet came into being. You have Esther, Queen Esther, that delivered the children of Israel. You come to the New Testament. We read just a few verses here, but also you think of Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Martha and Dorcas. Well, we have a mention of ladies in the Scriptures. Although it isn't right, very often a woman's faith and testimony is overlooked. It isn't argued against that the majority of biblical figures are male, but that gives none of us the right to belittle the women. As we have briefly noted in our verses, women have a very important place in Scripture. Each of you ladies are important, and perhaps you may not be as respected as you ought to be. You may not be placed in the proper exalted position. You might even view yourself as being situated in a life that is dull and lifeless and boring, a boring station. You might see yourself as inferior to others. You may think that your impact upon life is very small. You might feel as if you're making little or no contribution to those about you. But I say unto you, you are important. You ought to be respected. You should be honored. You are not inferior. You are contributing to the lives of those who are about you. And you are impacting life itself. Yes, you are, ladies. And perhaps you are unnoticed. But I remind you that even though no one may take account of who you are and what you do, that be assured God does. God knows your life. He knows your heart. And He will reward you for your faithfulness to Him. And so what I would like to do today is just consider the verses which we read and ponder a few thoughts upon the subject of godly women. That is the title of the message, Godly Women. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the day and the privilege of being in your house. Thank you for these that are here. And we pray that you would set apart our hearts from the thoughts and the cares of the world. Let nothing distract, that we might focus upon you, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. And I pray that word that you've laid upon my heart to share would be taken by this Spirit and implanted in every one of us. We pray for those that are lost, that they might be saved. And Lord, for those of us who are saved and your grace has been manifold in our lives, help us to be drawn to you. Forgive us where we fall short. Cause us to love you more day by day. Our hearts go out to those who would love to be here today but cannot due to sickness or providential hindrance. We pray that you would bless them. But our hearts also go out for those who should be here and don't have a care or a concern to be in the house of the Lord. And we ask that you would just draw them back to yourself with the cords of love and encourage them and draw them so that they would be responsive to you. Again, Lord, we just commit this time to you today. We honor you. We do thank you for mothers, but we thank you for sisters, and we thank you for daughters, and we thank you for, Lord, just the women that you've placed in this life, as well as the men. You're God, and there is none other, and we thank you for your providence and for your watch care. And so we commit this time to you today, and we pray that your will would be done. We ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. I want to think about godly women today, and the first thing that I would like to bring to attention is the presence of faith. Oh, by the way, men, just because I'm speaking about godly women doesn't mean, oh, no, I can just check out now. And I'm just going to phase out, take a little nap. He's speaking about the ladies today. Please do not do that. This is applicable to you as well. But I want to speak about the presence of faith. If we're going to talk about godly women, then it's absolutely necessary we start at the starting point. In order to be a godly woman, you have to be godly to begin with. And that means that there must be true faith. I ask you today, do you have true faith, genuine faith, faith in God, faith in His Word, faith in the Son of God? You say, yeah, I do, and everybody does. No, they do not. There's a lot of people that are in our world today that do not believe in God. There's a lot of people that do not believe in God's Word and that how important that Word is and how we can find direction and be brought unto God through His Word. There's a lot of people that don't believe in Jesus as the Son of God. But I submit unto you today, if you're going to be a godly woman or a godly man, then you first have to understand that there is a true God in heaven. You have to believe His Word, that His Word is true, and you'll believe in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that you might have eternal life. Therefore, in order to be godly, you have to have really a true conversion experience to begin with, don't you? And you might say, well, why do I need a conversion experience? Well, the Bible is very clear about that. Romans chapter 3 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none that doeth good. There's none that seeketh after Him. They are all gone of the way. And there's none profitable. And so, my friend, today, I judge that you would accept the fact that you're a sinner. I realize that's not a very popular subject in our society, and it certainly isn't politically correct. But I want you to understand that according to God's Word, all have sinned. And because of that sin, the wages of sin is death. You're under the wrath and the condemnation of God. And I've told you many, many times, when people would say, well, what do I need to do to go to hell? Absolutely nothing. You're already on the way to hell. Why? Because you do not believe that God has given of His Son. You're already under condemnation, John chapter 3, verse 18 says. So it's absolutely imperative today, my dear friend, if you're lost, you're dead in trespasses and sins, you're away from the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would recognize and accept the truth that you are a sinner, you're under condemnation. That's all negative, isn't it? Absolutely. But I'm glad for the positive, that God commended His love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. The all-familiar John 3:16, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so, dear sinner friend, today, you can be forgiven of your sin on the basis of Jesus Christ and the provision which He has made. He left heaven. He came to earth. He took Himself a human body. He lived perfect for 33.5 years. But yet He was crucified as a sinner, though He did nothing wrong. But when He went to the cross, not only was He being executed by man, God was doing a great work there. And Isaiah chapter 53 says that as Jesus Christ took the sin of many upon Himself, that God looked down and saw the travail of His soul and was satisfied. And so Jesus Christ met the provision whereby I might be forgiven of my sin. And He shed His blood that I might be washed in that blood and have eternal life. And that's true yet today. And so whether you're a male or a female today, if you're lost, the greatest need in your life is to become godly. You need to become a child of God. And that salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ apart from works. And so I point you to Jesus today. You say, I would like to be a godly mother. Then you must be saved first. You must be born again. You say, I'd like to be a godly father. You must be born again. And so I direct your attention to the fact that the presence of faith, if you're going to be godly, you first have to be a child of God, and that is through salvation. But of course, after we're saved, it's not all said and done, is it? God's left us in this world. Why? So that we might be drawn unto Him, that we might be used of Him. And so we consider the faith that we have day by day. And it's a living faith. It's a vibrant faith. And so, as every one of us, as we've been saved, well, we were created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God has desired for those who are His to live a life that is pleasing to Him, that is honoring to Him. And so I would remind you, if you want to be a godly woman today, yeah, you must first be saved, but then you want to be obedient to the Lord. You want to be submissive to Him. You want to surrender. You want to follow after Him. And you want to take the Scripture principles and apply them to your life, that you might be different. These people that we read about in the Scriptures were godly women. Why were they godly? Because they were first saved, and then they pursued after God. Oh, may it be in our hearts that all of us who name the name of Jesus Christ, that we would pursue after our God. And that we love Him more day by day. If you're going to be a godly woman or a godly man, you must have true faith. And then that faith should be put into existence day after day after day. As the Scripture says, the just shall live by faith. And that means then it's going to have to be a faith with priority. Now, absolutely saving faith is an ultimate priority. I mean, in everything that's in the world, my friend, the greatest need that you have is to be saved. That's the greatest. You say, well, I need this, I need that. No, the greatest thing is to be made right with God. And so the ultimate is to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. There's nothing in this life more important than a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so make faith a priority. You say, well, yes, I am saved. I know that to be true, and I do desire to follow after Him. Well, in order to follow after Him, in order to be considered a godly person, then, well, we're just going to have to make faith a priority, aren't we? Our character and our outward manifestation needs to be that of a godly nature. How shall we do that? If we make faith a priority. The godly principles and the spiritual themes must be sought after. And so it's imperative that we avail ourselves of the Word of God, that we would read it, that we would study it, that we would hear it preached and hear it taught, so that we might know what God has for us, so that we might pursue Him, that we might keep His commandments, that we might be found obedient, that we might be found godly. Do you have faith today? Do you know that you're saved, that you've been forgiven of your sin, that you have eternal life? So then I would follow that up with the question, well, how about that living faith? How are you doing there? Are you living a life which could be characterized as being godly? Oh, that God would grant us grace that we live godly lives. But I also believe that this faith that which we have, and once we have it and we want to live God, I believe that's going to affect other people. It does make a difference. Being saved changed my life. But it also, since my life has changed, is going to have an effect toward other people. And so, never fear, my dear friend. You're saved. If you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Well, He's changed you, and that means, you know what? You will be a better wife. You will be a better husband. You will be a better father or a better mother. You will be a better brother or sister or son or daughter because Christ has made a difference. He's changed your life. He changed mine. He changed yours if you're saved. And so this faith will have an impact upon us. And our godliness of our daily living will have an impact upon other people. I've mentioned to you, I want to be a good witness. I want to be a testimony of Jesus Christ. I met way too many people that said, well, if that's a Christian, I don't want to be one. I don't want that to be said of me. I want them to look and say, wow, that's a Christian. That's what I think of when I think of Christianity. And so we want to have the presence of faith. But then let's pass on to the second point I want to mention unto you. And you're welcome to turn back to 1 Peter chapter 3. We'll make a quick reference to this as well. And I know we already read it, but once again, you can glance there and remind yourself of the text. But the second point of the message, not only the presence of faith, but I believe and want to speak to you about the perpetuation of faith. The perpetuation of faith. Are we an island to ourselves? Are we just, okay, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, that's good enough, and who cares about anybody else? Hopefully that's not our attitude. Hopefully that's not our position. I want you to recognize the perpetuation of faith. I mean, just think about the influence that you have. And dear ladies, you say, well, I don't have any impact. I don't have any influence upon anybody. Oh, you surely do. And we'll mention a little bit further, especially for those who are mothers, the influence that they have. But think about the influence of a sister. I was made to think of old Moses. And, you know, Miriam, she was the one, I believe, that was watching over him as he was floating in that ark there in the river, and that bushel basket. And when the Pharaoh's daughter said, call me someone to nurse him, she says, well, I'll go find somebody, and went and found Moses' mother. Boy, the influence of a sister there. You read in the New Testament scriptures about Martha and Mary, who greatly cared for Lazarus. The influence of sisters. And anybody, how many have sisters today? Huh? You guys, have they influenced your life? Absolutely. Now, you might be saying, well, they didn't influence me very well. Oh, that may be true, but they're still an influence. And so, some of you have sisters, some of you have brothers, and some of you may be an only child, but don't, with that concept, minimize the idea, well, nobody influenced me, so I can't be an influence. Not true, not true. The perpetuation of faith, the influence of a sister, the influence of a wife. We read there in 1 Peter chapter 3 that sometimes these women are saved and the husbands are still lost. And it says in the latter part of verse 1 that they may be won by the conversation or the lifestyle of the wife. And sometimes when that happens, when God saves one spouse and the other is left still in the lost condition, sometimes there's a division between them and there's a bitterness there. And, you know, what they end up being mean toward each other. Well, I'll tell you, dear Christian friend, you're not going to win your spouse that way. And so he mentions in the text here that if a woman have a husband that's not believing, through her conversation, through her lifestyle, through her influence. And verse 4 talked about, well, it's not all the dressing that's on the outward, but it's the hidden part. It is that ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. The godly life that he sees, that'll make a difference. And I encourage you, if your spouse is lost, it may be difficult in the home, but you must, by God's grace, live a godly life as much as possible so that you can be an influence upon them and speak positively. You do have that kind of influence, and that influence is a godly life. But we think about godly women today, and so ladies, you can have an influence as a wife. someone said, behind every great man is a great woman. And that's just about true, is it not? And so be thankful for your wives, men, and thank God and give Him the glory for a good woman. The influence of a sister, the influence of a wife, the influence of a daughter. Lives can be changed by people like this. I know, what just in general, what about the influence of a godly woman? We did not read this before, so turn, if you would, to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. You say, well, I'm not married, and I have no family. I can't be an influence to anybody. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can be a godly woman. Titus chapter 2, verse 3 and verse 4, as the instruction is given from Paul to Titus, he gives some instruction to the aged women. And he says, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. That's always good instruction for anyone of any age, male or female. But they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Notice that they may teach the young women to be sober and to love their husbands and to love their children. Ladies, you might be getting up in years. You say, what can I do anymore? You can be a godly example to the younger women. That's what Paul is writing to Titus about. You can influence them. You can encourage them. You can teach them. You've already been through it. You know the ropes. And so you can help guide these younger women in the things of God. And that will make a difference for them. It can make them better wives, and it can make them better mothers. Be the kind of influence that you can be. Back in 1 Peter, in chapter 3, we read verse 3 and verse 4, but I want to go back and look at verse 5. As we just made reference about the influence that a wife can have and the kind of spirit that she ought to have. In verse 5, once again, we see this support for the fact that there's just a positive influence for a godly woman. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands. What we find here is they were holy women. And they were trusting in God. Oh, for the women to have godly lives. For the men to have godly lives. The influences that you possess. A tremendous influence. Back in 2 Timothy, as we read before, specifically today in regard to Mother's Day, what about the influence of a mother? Sometimes a woman who is just rearing a child or two kind of gets depressed and discouraged, and they'll think, well, I just don't have any impact upon life. Do not ever think that. That precious gift that God has given to you might be one, it might be two, it might be a dozen or so. But however many children God has given to you, then you thank God for that child or those children. And you love them, and you demonstrate to them who Jesus Christ is. You live a godly life. You know why? Because there's an influence in mothers. I'll tell you, ladies have an influence over children more than the man. You know why? Because normally the man is out working, and the mother's around the child all the time. And she has a great opportunity to teach and to train and to instill the things of God in the heart of that little one. And the influence of which they have. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul, speaking that spiritual heritage, said, I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. Timothy, yes, you've been saved. But this faith first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. And I am persuaded in thee also. He had family members that were saved. Some of you have had that privilege. Some of you have been blessed to have godly mothers who taught you, who trained you, who took you to church and showed you the importance of the Word of God and following after Jesus Christ. You've been fortunate like that. I didn't have that. I mean, I didn't have a bad mom. I didn't have a bad dad. We went to church maybe once a year. That's what we did. And we would go on Easter maybe, and that might slip in a Christmas once in a while. But we were unchurched. We were ungodly. Our family's pagan. And God began to work on our family, and He began to save my brother and my sisters. And eventually my parents were saved after their divorce. I wish I'd have had a godly mother. But I didn't. I was saved before her. Some of you have been greatly blessed. You know why? Because you had a mom that loved you and taught you about Jesus. Well, that's precious. It really is precious, isn't it? The influence of a mother and the influence of a grandmother. I tell you, it's a tremendous influence that you have. George Herbert said, "One good mother is worth 100 schoolmasters." Now, I think that's true. Mother has a great influence. Napoleon, believe it or not, said the future destiny of the child is always the work of the mother. What a tremendous responsibility. And so be a godly mother. Be a holy woman. One who would be demonstrating that you have faith and that you are following after God by faith. Let me offer you a bad example. This is a poem that I found years ago, and so this is copied. I don't know, but you'll understand how a mother can influence both good and bad. Here's a bad example. "She whipped her daughter for lying, and her cheeks were flaming red. And of course there is truth in what she said, that a liar's always hated. But the little girl knew that her mother often stated many things that were untrue. She caught her daughter cheating, and she sent her up to bed. And it's useless now repeating all the bitter things she said. She talked of honor loudly as a lesson to be learned, and forgot she boasted proudly of the cunning tricks she'd turned. She heard the youngster swearing, and she punished her again. She'd have no girl as daring as to utter words profane. Yet the youngster could have told her, poor misguided elf, that it seemed unfair to scold her when she often cursed herself. All in vain is splendid preaching and the noble things we say. All our talk is wasted teaching if we do not lead the way. We can never, by reviewing all the sermons on the shelf, keep the younger hands from doing what we often do ourselves." And how true it is. Haven't you parents along the way had to say, don't do as I do, but do as I say? You know why? Because we're sinners, we understand that. But oh, the kind of testimony that we have, the kind of influence that we have upon our children. Let's not be a bad example. Let us be a good example, a godly example. I also found this where it says that if a child lives with criticism, I didn't come up with this list, I just share it with you. There are some negatives, there are some positives. If a child lives with criticism, he learns to condemn. If he lives with hostility, he learns to fight. If he lives with ridicule, he'll learn to be shy. If he lives with shame, he'll learn to feel guilty. Boy, the influence makes a difference, doesn't it? But let's turn to some positives. If a child lives with encouragement, he learns to be confident. If he lives with tolerance, he learns to be patient. If he lives with praise, he learns to be appreciative. If he learns with fairness, lives with fairness, then he learns justice. If he lives with security, then he learns faith. If he lives with approval, then he learns to like himself. And if he lives with acceptance and friendship, then he'll learn that he can find love in the world. The influence, that's what that expresses. Bad or good, the influence, it does make a difference. So I've submitted unto you today the presence of faith and the perpetuation of faith. Let me just quickly touch upon the power of faith. The power. We mentioned the impact. And I'll tell you, you really do not know the impact you have upon those around you. Your co-workers, your family members, your fellow church members. We really will never know that impact until we stand before Jesus Christ. But you do have an impact. And ladies, you do have an impact upon your husband. You'll never know what that impact will be until you stand before the Lord. But have a good impact, a positive influence upon your husbands. And husbands, have that positive influence upon your wives. And who knows the impact of a parent upon a child. Ladies, you spent so many hours with that little boy or that little girl, and you taught them and you trained them. The influence, it's untold. I'm telling you, there is a great impact. And that power of faith is that you have faith and you live by that faith. And so you're saved and you live a godly life. What an influence that you have. Great power there. Great power. Riley Walker wrote, "Memories of a Mother. She carried me under her heart, loved me before I was born, took God's hand and walked through the valley of shadows that I might live. She bathed me when I was helpless, clothed me when I was naked, fed me when I was hungry, rocked me to sleep when I was weary, and sang to me as the voice of an angel. She held my hand when I learned to walk, suffered with my sorrow, laughed with my joy, glowed with my triumph, and while I knelt at her side, she taught my lips to pray. She was a loyal friend when others failed. Through all the days of my youth, she gave me strength for my weakness, courage for my despair, and hope for my hopeless heart. She prayed for me when the day was flooded with sunshine or sadness by the shadows. I can never repay the debt I owe to my mother." And I'll tell you, my friend, if you've had a godly mother, you'll recognize that. Aren't you glad for God's grace upon you? And that your mother could have that influence upon you? Then you be that influence upon your children and your grandchildren. Glenn Light wrote, "This is a mother's touch forever. A mother's touch begins when she first tickles the soles of little feet and continues until she tempers souls with her love. A mother's touch is as constant as her love, finding its way through clouds of rain or showers of happiness. A mother's touch inspires her children to be even better than they are, whether with a pat on the back when things go right or a hug when things go wrong. A mother's touch is enabling, giving her children the courage and the confidence to reach out and touch someone too. A mother's touch helps put the pieces back together when the pieces of the broken doll, a broken date, or a broken relationship, no matter what it was, she helps put those pieces back together. A mother's touch fills hearts with hopes and homes with love. The power of faith. The power. Lastly, let me submit unto you the plea for faith. And it is simply this. Any of you here that are lost, male or female, there's a need for you to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You need saving faith. You need to become the Son of God. Without it, you'll continue your life of sin and debauchery, and you will one day lift up your eyes in hell. I point you to Jesus today, that you might be saved. There is hope. There is availability. There is forgiveness of sins, and it's found in Jesus Christ. Man or woman, boy or girl, today if you're lost, turn to Jesus, repent and believe, and become a child of God. But then, of course, for all of us who've already been saved, there is a need for us to live a godly life. May you be a godly woman. May you be a godly man. May we, who name the name of Jesus Christ, be a holy people. Recognize that we influence those who are around us, whether in the family or in the community or in the church. And so there's a call upon us to be godly. Would you live by your faith and express that faith and let it be a holy faith that you might influence others in a positive fashion? That those who are lost would look at you and say, "You know what? I'd like to be like that. I want to be a Christian. Tell me how. Tell me how." God bless you, ladies. Thankful for you. Let's stand. Father in heaven, again today, we thank you for the privilege of sharing your word. I just pray that you bless it to every heart, overcome any frailty of speech which I may have had. Let there be nothing to hinder. I pray that you would work by your Spirit and just meet the needs of everyone here today. For those who are lost, that they might be saved. For those who are saved, that they might find great encouragement to live for you, to love you, to be a positive influence to everyone about them. Whether it be a spouse or a child, co-worker or a sibling, or even a parent. I pray, O God, that all of us would be the kind of godly individuals you desire us to be. So just speak to us and move by your Spirit, we pray, in Jesus' name and amen. Turn, if you would, to number 326.